This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Father, we thank you, not just for your Spirit being present, but for your Word that is alive this morning, Lord. That through your Spirit, your Word becomes alive in our midst this morning. I thank you for Alida. It's here this weekend, spending time with us. And Father, we thank you, Lord, as you ministered to us through the first service for yesterday, Lord, that you just continue, Lord, to shine forth, to pour through her, Lord. Lord, that your Spirit that's resting upon her, Lord, which is through these next few moments, Lord, just continue to minister to us. We declare, Lord, our hearts are open. We come and take captive, Lord, every wandering thought, Lord. Father, everything that is coming against what you want to do, and we just pray this morning, Lord, let your kingdom be established in our midst, Lord. We come against every stronghold, Father, every mindset that needs to be changed, Father, every thought pattern that needs to be changed, Father, every religious form that we've been serving, Father, whatever it might be. Holy Spirit, you know those things. You confront that with the truth this morning, Lord. And we plant truth in our midst this morning. We say we will embrace the truth, Lord. Above the words of man, Father. Above any system, Lord. Over and above any church denomination, Lord. The God that we want to embrace your truth this morning. Because it sets us free. Amen. Amen. Don't you want to give somebody quickly a high five or a hug or somebody? I just... feel to say that to you, please quickly just go over to somebody, make them feel welcome. Tell them I haven't seen you, but you're in the best place. Seatbelts on. Huh? Seatbelts on. The light is coming on. Seatbelts on. I'm warning you. I've been here in the first service. No, don't worry. Don't worry. Worry. I'm telling you. Tell them to put the seatbelts on. It's been a blessed service. So God has been blessing us. But you know, as we think about certain people, we always have certain special memories and treasure certain things. And Alida is here with us this morning. Our husband Rick. Some of you've met both of them. Alida was ministering at a previous Awaken conference here, and Rick was doing an F4 here. And you treasure special memories, and one of that was when they were the first couple that actually stayed at our house when we came here. Just the first pastor's couple that stayed with us, spent a little bit of time with us, and they were also the first couple that led us, that led that worship or that mission team to Korigas that we had a... test me in the first service. So such special things, and I still see us praying on that night on the couch there with God. It's just, so those memories are now engraved in our inside, you know. But I can say much about Rick. He's our entertainer always there, and he's famous for that. But we've got a privilege this morning of having Alida here. And to me, it was just such a blessing while I was sitting here and just seeing how God is just beaming through her, and she's just being herself, and just God ministering for her. But Alida, thank you so much for this morning first service. I'm looking forward. I know somebody said, no, I'm staying for the second service as well. I need to hear this a second time. But you know, when Paul writes in Romans in the first chapter, and he says, I long to come to you, because there's and I think the New King James talks about an impartation. I love that word. You know, some of us, we can talk about stuff, but certain people can impart in certain areas just because that is who God made you. And that's just, almost want to say, how your DNA is coming together. And I think for Alida, it's just the next generation and children. She talks with such authority. You just sit there. And I really want to honor you, Alida, for your obedience this morning. Even I'm just going to give you the open platform this morning. Please don't apologize for anything. Just go all the way. Because I think it's so necessary that we receive the truth. And we can see it's so much from a place of love and setting us free. And that as she was ministering yesterday to our children's church, people as well, some mummies as well there, that was such a blessing for us. Thank you so much for coming here, taking time away. She's got three kiddies as well, leaving them to Rick, and he needs to minister this morning as well. But coming to serve here You know, the book, I almost want to say, is a byproduct of what is in here. You know, that's just the outflow of what's already here. So we've got the privilege not just to have the book here, but to have a leader here just to minister to us directly from where she's coming. And we've been talking a lot about the next generation in the last few months, and I really believe that God is stirring our hearts. But I'm going to hand over now, because otherwise I'm going to preach, and that's not, I'm not getting paid today to preach. I'm just getting paid to say hello to Alida. So Alida, thank you. Let's just give her a hand. Thank you.
Thank you, Oscar. All right, good morning, everybody, and greetings from Worcester in South Africa. You've been prayed for this week by people who have never seen you before, but they're very cool and dear and lovely. My shofar family, yeah, way down there. I just want to honor Yaku and Ruhandri, the elders, for trusting me with bringing the word today. I want to honor my husband for allowing me to fly in the physical and in the figurative speaking of following my calling and my dream, and not moaning that he needs to stay behind with our three children. 10 years, 8 years, and 4 years old, and he runs the household and everything that goes along with it when I get to have a break. So I'm very thankful for him. Many years ago, I was a little girl, actually. I knew I was going to write a book one day, and I studied all the right things. I got all the training. I did extra training. I just couldn't wait to write my own book. And then at one of our Awaken conferences, God said to me, I want you to dream of writing a book. I want you to give it to me. And I can remember it was very hard for me. I cried a little river there in front, just releasing this heart's desire of mine of writing a book. Now, in my mind, the book would be about my life. It would be wonderful, all the things of my wonderful life, and I would get all the glory for it. And just after I actually just let it go, I said to the Lord, Lord, if I never in my life write a book, I'm then all right with it. I came to that point. And then God said to me, all the gifts that I've blessed you with is for my body. I'm coming back for the bride of Christ. It's for that. And you will use your gift, but you are going to use it first and foremost for my body. And just a little while after that, Yankur came to me and he said to me, Alida, we would love you just to write down the way in which you tell the Bible stories to your children, because we want to get it out there so other parents can also learn from it. It's just a gift that you have. And the project started then, many years ago, up until today, where we can actually give a book out. I'll talk more about the book a little bit later. But it just blessed me to know that God sees my talents. He gave it to me, but on His terms, He will use it. And He will use it in His kingdom. He will use it in the body to bless one another. And I know that this book is a blessing for many households out there. So we didn't know about the book when we organized my trip here. I came to do kids church training. That's awesome. So I just contacted Yaku a while ago. I said, I wrote a book in the meantime. Can we please launch the book as well? So my heart is really looking after the next generation, the generations that is coming after us. What are we doing to prepare them in life? I think we work very hard leaving a financial legacy. We so badly want to give them something that we did not have. If it's paying for their education, if it's maybe helping them buying a house, if it's opening doors in business world for them that we didn't have when we grew up, we work hard and long hours for that. But this morning, my message to you is a wonderful job, money, a place in society, it doesn't matter. None of that counts when we're walking into eternity. And we need to equip our children with a spiritual legacy first and foremost before we take our time and our money to invest in their financial legacy. They need to know God's voice. They need to be obedient to His voice. They need to have a relationship with Him. The Bible says those who know Christ will go into heaven one day. And that is my heart for the next generation, is that they might know Christ. They might know the power that He brings in His Spirit, and that He may be their constant companion until the day when they are invited into heaven, where they go for eternal life. So this is where I come from, and that is why I wrote the book. I'm quickly going to pray, and then I'll start. Father, thank You that You are here. You know every individual that is here this morning, Lord. None is by mistake. You know them by their name. You know their past. But God, it's so exciting that You know their future. And that we can just trust that today, Lord, You will do what You want to do. In Jesus' name, amen. I brought a few pictures of you, of generations. It's precious for us. We treasure the moments when a little one is born and we know that granddad is still alive or maybe great-granddad. We want to get them together. We want to take a picture. Maybe you have pictures like that in your house. Maybe you know your faces and you know what they look like. And it stirs an emotion inside of you. And I trust that the Holy Spirit will minister to you in that place, that which you are registering now in your emotions. Because we are proud of our generations. One of the favorite things for me to do as being a pastor's wife is dedicating babies to the Lord. It's just a glorious day, family, friends, and we make a lot of promises to God. God, we promise that we will teach them your ways. We promise, Lord, that we will bring them upright. This morning I want to ask us, can you still remember what you promised? What did we promise God when we brought our babies to Him, when we prayed for our babies in the night when they were still young? So the generation that I mostly work with as a teacher and as a coach and as a mom at this stage is, let's say, 0 to 14-year-olds, all right? If you are not a parent here today, don't switch off, okay? Because I will speak to parents, but I'm also bringing a word for adults, for us grown-ups, for us in the church, for us in Shofar as a movement, we that are grown-ups, all right? So don't think that I'm only speaking to parents. A lot will be applicable to parents, but I'm speaking to all of us today. Now, this age gap, 0 to 14-year-olds, it's half the world's population. Half, all right? So there's a lot out there. We know it. And we are all together responsible to look after them. Primarily the parents, but just primarily. For the rest, it's all our responsibility. We are supposed to look after them collectively. Now, the biggest trap that we are setting for these young ones in the church today and in our Shofar movement today is the religious spirit. We are digging the hole. We are putting the little planks on. We are covering it with leaves. We are setting a trap. And today I want to wake you up to that reality, a pitfall for them to fall in. And that is the religious spirit. We might say, oh, but we are in a life-giving church and we are in a charismatic church. But I tell you, when you go home, what is happening behind your four walls at home? So many times it is a whole different picture than what we experience here on a Sunday. So I am a mom, I have a husband, I have my own four walls, and I know what's going on in my four walls. So I really trust that you will hear my heart today when I speak out of a place where I preach to myself and I preach to all of us. Now, this religious spirit shows us that in church things can happen, but it can't happen at home. There's no growth, there's no breakthrough, there's no life, there's no fun. None of that is happening in our house. So yes, we do come on a Sunday and we even attend small group. Great if you can even attend small group, but at home nothing is happening. So this religious spirit, I'm not a theologian, but in my years of working, I've been part of Shofar's children's ministry for 16 years. Some of the kids that I taught as children got married and had a baby the other day. Precious moments. Very few of us ever get actually to witness, unless it's your own children. But what I see in my experience is four things, how the religious spirit manifests in our lives, in our homes especially. And I want to talk about those four things today. So the first thing where we pick it up, it's fake. It pretends. It pretends to be the truth, but it's not. Now, I brought my lovely watch with me, so if you can see my lovely watch. Any second-time listeners, you are not allowed to tell what is going to happen. I love a beautiful watch. I love a beautiful watch. I saw this one online. I ordered it. I waited for it because it's got a lovely big face. It's pretty. I love it. I waited for it. I waited for it. It arrived. I was so excited. At last, my watch. I ordered stuff for the children as well, but I didn't care. I just wanted my watch. I opened it up. It was beautiful, just like on the picture. And then I took it out and I put it on my wrist. And it was broken. It doesn't work. And that is what's going to happen if we show this generation in church and in small group, things can happen. It's wonderful. But at home, there's no Christ. There's no breakthrough. There's nothing. There's just the religious spirit. It's fake. Kids will not follow fake. So they will grow up. And what will they do with the religion that you taught them all these years? They will throw it out the window because it's broken and it's not working. There's no power. There's no real time. There's nothing. So in the Second World War, we find these pictures that we see how everybody was sitting around the radio and they were listening to what's going on in the time of war. It's like ideas and news were given by hearing only. And that shaped actually what people think and believed of the world. There was one guy named Hitler. He had one lie. He believed one lie. He repeated it over and over and over again, and it became truth. And he changed history. That is what the religious spirit does. He brings a false thing, a lie, but it's being repeated over and over again by society, by government, by everybody around you so many times that it has become your norm. It has become our normal, but it's not God's truth. Now, children today are not stimulated by just hearing. We are growing up in a visual age, so they see. What they see, they will follow. You can speak until you're blue. This is what we should do. This is how we worship. This is how we follow Christ. If they don't see you do it, they will not follow. They will throw your religion out the window when they grow up and they get from under your authority. And that is what we're busy with, guys. That is what I see is happening. In our movement, I see that as adults, we really experience Jesus intimately. We grow up, we grow in our walk with Christ. We are being set free. We find freedom in his presence. We grow. But we struggle bringing the next generation along with us. We do not know how to give them our hand and how to take them along with us. Parents struggle with that. They don't know it, all right? So that is one tool at the back. I want to help parents and adults and teachers to fix this so that we don't grow alone selfishly, but that we can equip the next generation. We can show them true life, who Christ really is, so that they don't throw the watch at you in your face in a few years' time. I want to read to you just this slide, Ephesians 4:15. Rather, speaking the truth in love. So difficult to speak the truth in love these days. People don't speak the truth anymore. They are afraid to offend. They are afraid of this and that. We don't speak the truth. To speak the truth in love, make sure that if you bring the truth, it's in love and not out of frustration. So tip, if you're still frustrated with the situation, don't go speak the truth. Say, Lord, I'm so frustrated. Change my heart. Give me a love for that person. And out of that love, you go speak the truth. We had a situation in our family recently. It's difficult, but the truth was spoken in love. And change came from that. If you are a true friend, if you really say that you love your family, it's time that we speak the truth in love. Okay. We are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head. Who is our head? Christ. Grow up in every way. Grow up. I'm going to talk about that a lot. We as adults need to grow up. We need to mature. The other day something happened. There was just children around me, and I don't know if it was blood. I can't remember. And as I was looking at it, I was thinking, where's the adult? Somebody must manage this. And I realized as I look around, there's nobody. I'm the adult. I need to handle this, right? We're the adults. There's so many things we need to step up, step in, and manage and handle and take care of. It's not the kid's job to do it. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupting talk come from your mouth. So powerful. Once again, we are talking about truth versus lie, okay? No corrupting talk from your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Our children need a lot of grace. People in the wrong need a lot of grace. They don't need judgment, grace. We need to speak the truth to them. So children can smile fake a mile away. One day I didn't prepare for my children's church lesson. It's not supposed to happen, but in my 16 years, it has happened a few times. So I didn't prepare. So I was faking it all the way. They say, fake it till you make it. You can't fake it before children. So this little boy is telling me, Tony, you did not prepare at all. You are right. I'm not going to lie. You are right. They can smell it a mile away. They watch how you cope with pressure. Because they also experience pressure. And they will just mimic what you show them. If I get a lot of pressure on me, I normally go like this. And then I will walk around. That is my manifestation. So in our house, we are being told, I teach the children, if you are frustrated, if you are aggressive, you need to go shout in your pillow, run around the house 3 times, or run on the spot, or whatever. There's a few things that they can do. So on my way to church the other day, we were late, and I forgot something, and it was just a moment like that, and I went, and my four-year-old looks at me and says, Mommy, you should have gone and yelled in the pillow. Yeah, they need to know. Bad example that morning. I dropped the ball. They need to know what to do with it. They watch how you love. Not only parents, adults, you are being watched. How do you love? How do you love when you do not feel like it? Yo, I'm just so cross at your dad now. There's just no love, all right? So how do I get to a place of love again? You choose it. You say, Jesus, help me. I just want to strangle somebody, but Jesus, come and help me, make me calm so that we can get there. So they watch you. How do you handle strangers? How do you handle beggars? How do you handle the neighbors? How do you do it? They're watching us. All right, how we operate. Now, parenting is hard work. It is hard to get them dressed, fed, educated, it is a lot. So this morning, I come and tell you, now you must disciple them as well, right? It is a task way bigger than we can ever imagine or even think to go. Am I right? So don't feel like I throw a mountain at you this morning. Just know, you cannot do it alone. We can't even raise them by ourselves alone. I don't know how people parent without Jesus and the Holy Spirit. I honestly don't know. So I'm telling us today, we are missing something. We are missing the discipling of them. And we cannot do it by ourselves. You can tell me, Alida, I have no time. Honestly, no time. I have no money. I have too much money. Rick went jogging with a guy the other day. He's new in town. And he said his boy is 10 years old. And they moved to Worcester to be in the countryside. It's a great town to raise your children. There's just not a lot going on for children, but luckily it's got a PlayStation 4 to keep them busy. So many parents have that mindset. Something must just keep them busy, because I do not have the time. I do not want to make the time to spend time with my boy, so the PlayStation can keep him busy. These things make me lie awake at night, because that boy is going to grow up. We don't get a blueprint or a recipe how to do this. So it's difficult. It's not like you can buy my book and be fixed. The book cannot fix your problem of discipling your children. Not at all. We have our priorities all wrong, all right? So this morning, I'm just here to remind you again. God is our first priority. What He wants, He is number one. Then it is my husband. Then it is the children. So I get those two mixed up quite often in my life, all right? Every morning, my prayer is, Jesus, save me. So I get saved every day because I lose the plot so often. How do I know that I get it wrong? I put out the cereal and the little bowls and everything for the kids in the morning when they wake up to come and have breakfast. But I don't want to make coffee for my husband. He is grown up and he can do it himself. I go to the supermarket and I will bring everyone a little something, a chocolate or a bag of chips or something, but I will forget about Rick. I will organize babysitters for the little one every time there's something at school. If it's a prize giving, if we go away for sport, for whatever. But I cannot do it to have a date night with my husband. He cannot speak to me because I allow the children to speak all the time. They interrupt us all the time. Things like that. He's not the priority. It's God, my children, and then my husband. It's wrong. It should be the other way around. So in discipling our children, there is no quick fixes. We are so used to quick fixes, and we buy quick fixes so often because we have money, if you are lucky enough to have money. If I'm hungry and I didn't prepare, I can just buy something quickly. I can fix the problem of 10 or 5 hungry mouths quickly. Discipling is not a quick fix. It's a faithful, keep going at it, trusting the Lord for breakthrough. And that frustrates us. It frustrates us because our society doesn't work like that. We just want to get, and we want to get it quickly. It's difficult for us to invest money and wait. It's difficult because we want to get it quickly, quickly, quickly. To disciple your children, mom and dad, is nobody else's responsibility. It is yours. It's not the schools, it's not the church. And I say it to the teachers as well, the children's church teachers. We're just there to help the parents. It is their job. I'm there to assist and help all I can. It's not my job. It's their priority first, primarily their priority. So you might say, Alida, there's lots of challenges regarding that. Do not fall in the pit. Wait. Okay, don't go there. Stay with me. But it's your responsibility. You need to recognize it before the Lord again this morning that it's your responsibility. It's the church's responsibility to pray, look out, help, guide the next generation. The elderly, you might think, Alida, I'm done with it. I've done it. Oh, it was tough, but we are through it. And now I can enjoy maybe grandchildren if you're so lucky. I want to tell you that your job is not done yet. I had the privilege of going on a four-day hike with 60-plussers in the September holidays. I was the only younger lady. During that time, I saw how they suffered together. That was one of the lessons that I learned from them. And that's why I wanted to go. I wanted to surround myself with older women. I want to see how they do life. I want to learn from them. I'm so desperate. I just want them to show me the way. So I'm tired and I'm all worked and I am not their age, all right? So here we go. One of them gets, she's got a fear of heights. Mentally, I think she just couldn't cope anymore. So we're all suffering. We need to get this woman. There's no escape route. We need to get her at the end of the 22 kilometers. So it was a hard day. It rained. It's just miserable circumstances, but we need to get to the end. But what was pretty, what I learned, not pretty, that's the wrong word, precious. When they suffer, they pull together as friends. They start to massage one another's feet. Someone is bringing wine. If you want wine, they bring wine. They talk nice. At the stage, the lady didn't want to walk anymore, and talking nicely didn't work. So another of the friends stepped in. She says, now we need to be strict with her. Come, you can do it. We're almost there. There's no turning back now. But they pull together. If I suffer and if I go through a rough time, I want to isolate myself. That's what I do. I go into my little place alone. I want to fix it all by myself. Your job in the kingdom of God is not yet done. You have so much wisdom, so much life to share, to impart, to help with. I have a dream of seeing our every mother's room in our movement are being run by the elderly. They need to take those babies one, all of them. They need to teach the younger moms to let go. It's all right to let go. I've got them for today. I'm working on it in Worcester so that we can get it done. The second thing, how does the religious spirit manifest itself? The second thing, no power. It tells you there's no power in Jesus. There's no power in Christ. We sing, strength arise as we wait upon the Lord. Strength arise as we wait upon the Lord. But if we go home, there's just no strength between those four walls. There's no strength. There's no breakthrough. It takes the power away. It tells you there's no power in God's Spirit. The Holy Spirit is missing. There's no flow of the Holy Spirit. I read this every time, and when I minister, it's my favorite scripture, John 16:7. I read it to you at Awaken when I was speaking at Awaken as well. Nevertheless, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's talking about going away. And they are getting panicky because Jesus cannot go away. He's been with them physically all this time. And they are his disciples. He's discipling them. And now he's telling them, I am going away. What are we going to do without you, Lord? You cannot go away. Oh, what's going to happen? And he's telling them, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. It's not your voordeel. It's not to your advantage that I go away. Jesus in the physical is saying, it is better for you if I leave. Why is it better? For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. That is the Holy Spirit. Because one of his names is the Helper. He is the comforter. He is the one who brings wisdom and guidance. That is where the power lies. Jesus knew the amount of power His Spirit will clothe us with. But yet, the religious spirit tells us there's none. Do not go that way. Do not step in there. It's weird. But that is where the power is. I want to read Romans 5:8. For those who live according to the flesh and set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Now that Spirit is God's Spirit, all right? For to set the mind on the flesh leads to death. But to set the mind on the Spirit leads to life and peace. Okay, so what that means for me is, if we keep on shunning the Holy Spirit, wanting nothing to do with Him, if we follow, set our minds on the things of the flesh, that's the things of the world, that is what government tells us maybe, that is what society tells us, what your family tells you, that's not God-fearing people. If we set our mind on that, if we allow them to dictate to us, where will we lead ourselves and this next generation? To death. And that is the plain truth. But we have a choice, or we can set our minds on the things of the Spirit, God's Holy Spirit. And if we do that, where does that path lead us? It leads to a place of life and peace. Guys, there are no middle way. I'm sorry, that's what I want to bring before us today. I need to choose that every day. God, I need to listen to your Spirit. What is your will? Where do you want me to go? The question I ask myself and you this morning, are we at all still interested in what is God's Spirit saying? Are we interested in hearing Him and being obedient to His voice? Are we? You pray your knees through, but nothing is happening. That's a word for somebody. Nothing is happening. You've been praying for years, but there is no power. And I want to ask you this morning, are you in tune with God's Spirit? Do you know what is on His heart to pray through? I've prayed many prayers for my husband in my life. And if it's not God's will, it will not happen. I said in the Afrikaans service, I pray for him to pick up his clothes and it doesn't happen. It's not on God's agenda for him now. So I'm like, Lord, I'm praying myself blue. It's so irritating. I cannot keep doing it all this time. His mom didn't teach him that. So I'm like, God, teach him that. No, nothing's happening. Lord, what is your will for Rick's life? God, what do you want to bring to fruition in this season in Rick's life? Oh, that it is. And I pray that, and it happens, and it changes. I didn't do anything. I just prayed God's will. And I picked the fruit in my marriage. I'm so happy in my marriage. I said to my mom the other day, I cannot believe that anybody can be so happily married than I am. And I know that this is part of it. Lord, I'm frustrated with him, X, Y, and Z, but obviously you're not at the moment. So I need to put that down. What is on your heart and what can I pray for him now? My children, my workplace, my relationships, etc. Not my will, but your will. Your will be done. But now the thing is, I think we genuinely do want that. We easily say, God, your will be done. Yes, Father, I know your will be done. Yeah, we want that. But it's not happening. And here's the thing. There's an idol in the way. And now you need to fasten your seatbelts, like Jaco said, because this is a rough one. What is the idol that you don't see? I'm going to shine the light on a blind spot in our society and in our movement this morning. Okay? Are you holding on? The idol in our way from seeking God's kingdom first is our children. The exact generation that we so want to disciple, that we really want to bring into God's presence, to experience Him and to grow, that has become our idol. If you look at society out there, it is children first. They get whatever they want. They get when they want it. They get it in the color that they want it. It is in schools. It is in the neighbor's house. It's everywhere. We are slaves to them. We might preach on money often. Money is the idol. Okay, some of you have overcome that. No, money is not an idol in my life. God, I give to you gladly. That is a difficult idol to overcome. So this morning I'm revealing another one to you. That our children has become an idol for us. And we really need to ask Jesus to help us to get this right. I helped a little boy with the oral a few weeks ago. His parents wrote it, and I just had to help him present it, all right? One of the lines in his oral is, "It is the era of the child." And as he said it the first time, my heart went, "Ugh! That is a lie. It is not the era of the child. It is the era of God's kingdom and for his glory to shine." And children are down in the line. They're not up there. It is God's glory and it is God's time. So where do I see it? I've been in our movement a long time. I've been in children's ministry a long time. And this is just what I observe. This is what I hear parents are saying to me. "Alida, we cannot come to church because the baby is too small. Oh no, we can't do small group this year. We're going to take a whole year off because, oh, kids, it's just crazy." If your kids are crazy, you need to make a plan. You need to get them disciplined. You need to get them to a place where you can do small group. I know it's the question I'm being asked the most. How do you do small group with children? I'm not going to minister on that today. But that's the excuse in our heart. We need to go now because the kids need to eat. They just had a snack. They will not die. They need to learn to wait. Because there are other things that are more important. I cannot have proper relationships now because my children are too small. I can't speak to you properly. There are just too many kids in the way. Why are the kids in the way? Why are they interrupting you? Because we are allowing them. A mom with little children, it's a crucial stage where she needs to connect with the Lord and with people, but the kids are so all over the show that she struggles. From little, they need to know their place. Guys, in love, they need to know their place. Mom is busy talking to daddy now. You guys need to wait. Oh, you cannot wait? To your room quickly. Go wait there. I'm busy talking to daddy. You need to. I know it's urgent. I know it's urgent, but you need to wait. It's daddy's turn first. It is this lady's turn first. I quickly need to get to her. If we make proper time with our children, if we take time every day to actually connect with them, that will come easier for them. They will understand. I'll get my turn. When I put my kids to bed at night, I spend a few minutes with each of them. And then there's time where they can talk to me, where a big thing can maybe come out. I might not have had the time in the day to listen to them due to various reasons, but then I have time for them. But if there is never time for them to be heard, it's going to be a problem. Okay, they're going to jump up and down and really seek your attention the best way they can. The kids want to watch a story now. The kids need a PlayStation. We cannot tithe. They need a PlayStation. The kids need to be entertained this holiday. What are we going to do with them? We just need to keep them busy. So here's news for you from one mom to another. Children do not have to be entertained. They are supposed to entertain themselves. You don't have to have a whole list lined up of things to do the holiday. Then they knock on your door at 7 in the holiday. We're awake. Where's the cereal? And where are we going today? That's not right. It's not your job. They need to learn to play by themselves. They need to learn to play with one another. It's not, you don't have to be the clown, the party, the show, the taxi all the time. You don't have to. Those things that happen, it's bonus for them. It's, "Oh, Mama, today was just awesome. Thank you so much for taking us out. Thank you so much for buying us this ice cream." But the attitude I pick up everywhere is, "Why doesn't my ice cream have chocolate on it?" That's the attitude. Because I expect you to get me an ice cream. I expect you to buy me a PlayStation because everybody else has one. I am 10 years old. Why don't I have a phone? What is wrong with you people? That is the attitude. In South Africa, maybe a bit more than here. But anyway, that is what you pick up on. It is my parents' job to do this, this, and that. And I see it in the church as well. That's why I'm speaking to the church this morning. It makes me sick if I see it. But here's the thing. Does it still make you sick? Or has it become your norm? Has the lie become your normal? You just carry on. You just go along with it. You just don't know how to change it. That is sin. And it's supposed to actually make us sick. It's supposed to go in your heart. Nah! Romans 12:2. We know Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world. Do not be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, which we want. Our heart's desire is to see God's kingdom. Yes, Lord, we want to do your will. All right? So do not be conformed to this world. It's going to be a lot more difficult for them not to be conformed to this world. So we need to show them how we can stand up, how we can say God's way is different than that way. Oh, but their parents are so great. They take their kids there. They do all of these wonderful things. Oh, well, that, I'm sorry. Well, you need to go talk to the Lord about it because he chose me to be your mom. Tough. That's life. We do things different. When we go through suffering or through a difficult time, we grow. It's exactly the same for them. Do not jump in the way and try to take their discomfort, their time of what agony or whatever. Don't try to take it away. Don't try to fix it by giving them what they want. Trust God that they will grow and mature. There's a parenting tip for you. For example, how do you know your kid is old enough to do something? Okay, you let him do it, and then you take it away. And if he tantrums, he's not old enough. So my four-year-old, they get to play a bit of games over the weekend. So we allowed him to play a game, and when it's time up, and I said, 5 minutes, okay, now it's time up, he tantrums. He's not old enough to play games anymore. It's 2 years later, he's still not playing games. Okay, he is not mature enough to say no. That is how you can test. You want to go visit grandma? You can visit grandma. If you tantrum and if you are sour faced for half a day, if I pick you up, you cannot do it again. You're not mature enough. Maybe grannies will not agree with me. Maybe that's a bad example. But you get the idea. They're not mature enough to have that privilege, actually, to have that bit of no, that's just a parenting tip for some of you. All right. I need to go on. How does the religious spirit manifest itself? The third thing, it keeps you proud. I can do it by myself. I don't need anyone to help me. As I minister this morning, if in your heart it goes, you will not tell me how to raise my children, that is most probably pride sticking out its head. Okay? Because my heart is to help. My heart is to show us the blind spot that's been keeping us in bondage, that has been keeping this idol on its little throne. Pride. I see moms working themselves into a depression, working themselves into a very dark place because they are too proud to ask for help. They're too proud to cry out to the Lord for help. How are you doing? I'm fine. I'm just fine. She's not fine, but it's pride telling you, don't show them how you really feel. Don't show them what is really going on. Don't ask for help in your marriage. So what happens? We are in ministry. By the time the whole marriage collapses, now they start knocking on your door. Pride kept them from coming for help right in the beginning. Things could have been restored right there and then with godly counsel. It's pride. It keeps us locked up. I want to do it all by myself. You don't tell me how I raise my children. I need to ask my children to help me many times. Oh, look, they're nice. They can actually help you. Do you know that? Like, mommy just cannot get to it today. Can you maybe help him? Can you run the bath for the little one? I know you don't like to do it, but you really need to help me. Can you please take this for daddy? Can you please dress that one for me? Can you please do his shoelaces? I cannot get to it. It's just a bit too much. I need your help. Friends, small groups. That's why it's important to say, guys, the wheels are coming off. We just need a bit of help in the next 2 weeks. So we don't do it. So we cry at our houses. We get depressed. We're all alone. There's nobody loving me. No, no, no. It's pride. It's the religious spirit. And that's how we see him. What is beautiful in the story of Gideon, if you haven't read the story of Gideon in a while, I can really encourage you to do it. It's one of the stories that I've written in the book as well. Poor Gideon, just a nobody, God appeared to him and he gave him a very big responsibility. He must go fight against the Midianites. And I know my word this morning is massive. I feel as it's like those Midianites. There are just too many to count. Lord, how are we going to do this? It's just too huge. Go read and study the story because God used Gideon and his obedience. Gideon was so scared, guys. He was such a scared bloke, but God knew it. He just wanted Gideon's obedience. So they overcame the Midianites without a sword, without a gun, without artillery, without a cannon, without aeroplanes, with a shofar and with a torch. That was it. 300 men. God did it. God wants to do it. He wants us to cry out for help for the Lord and for Gideon. I want to tell us this morning, for our generations and for God's glory, we need to say, yes, Lord, help us. Fight this battle and this army for us. We cannot do this by ourselves. Lord, you know my circumstances. You know the distance between my children and me. You know where they are. God, they're grown up. I missed the plot. You know it. Help me, Lord, I intercede for them. You fight the battle for me, God. Go study that story. It encouraged me immensely as I was busy preparing and these things were mulling in my heart. Number four, how does the religious spirit manifest itself? It sucks the fun out of life. Your whole life is just dull and boring and without laughter. So what does it look like? You might have a little giggle or somebody will tell a story in your home and you will laugh and then it's time to pray for the food and then everybody's like, be quiet, daddy's going to pray. Shh, daddy, pray for us. Then daddy prays. Life and God and the Holy Spirit and doing it together should all be one and it should be fun. There must be fun in it. Otherwise, we lose it. People pray, and then they start with, oh, God. They are watching us. They will not pray to that God if that is what we portray to them. All right? My four-year-old is sitting on the bed while I'm reading my book to my daughter. We're in the book of the story of Joseph and how God spoke to Joseph through dreams. One of the questions is, how do you experience God speaking to you? So I tell her, how do I hear God's voice? Sissy, have God spoken to you through dreams? Yeah, she says. And she shares what happened in a dream and how she felt special and whatever. And the four-year-old was just sitting there. He was paging through a car book. It's just car, trains, and planes. Anyway, so I didn't think he was listening. And then as I want to continue, he said, Mommy, I also want to tell you. We're like, oh, okay. Tell us, what did God say to you? Mommy, God said to me, I must flush the toilet when I'm done. I said to him, that's beautiful. That is so on the level of a four-year-old. He heard God's voice, and God is for mommies, because that's my voice as well, all right? That is awesome. And instead of going, ach, that's just stupid. God doesn't work like that. God works like that. He speaks to children in a very unique way that is different from us. We need to learn from them. We need their innocence and their faith in our churches and in our movements. We need them. So we had a little chuckle. Sissy was folding double from the laughter. I said to her, don't laugh that much because that is his reality and that is what God is saying to him. And we say, yes, Buddha. Because in 2 years' time, God is going to say something else. And in 16, 20 years' time, God is going to tell him who his wife is. He needs to be able to hear God's voice. It must be natural for him. So at 4, it's the toilet. At 20, it's your wife. You need to listen to it. So it sucks the fun out of life. It just makes you so serious. So I like to work with music. If the atmosphere in my house is not lacquer, I'll put on some music. And we like dancing as well. So I grew up on a farm. I wanted to dance and ballet all my life. Never got the opportunity. So now I just do it by myself in my house. And I put music on and we will just dance while we make food or especially when we need to clean the house. I tell my kids, oh, I know we're not list to do this now. But what can we do to make it better? Oh, Mom, just put on some music. So I put on our favorite music, and then it just goes along. But anyway, this one day, the cousins from the Free State came to visit us. And the grown-ups were all away, and I was alone with all the children. I said to them, what is your favorite music? I'm going to put it on. All right, so they tell me, Tani, the Campbells. I go in the back of my mind, oh, Jesus, help. But they're like, the candles, we're going to put the candles on. Okay, so I get the candles on my phone and I put it on and we just started to dance. Now the cousins are like, oh, okay, but they do it and the mommy's doing it, we can also do it. So we just dance and we just have fun with them. The next moment, I jump on my couch. Went go flying that way, and the oldest son, she's precious, her eyes went goes big like this. She's like, oh, we should just stop before my mom comes. I said to her, awesome, just have fun in your house, laugh with your children again, tell them something funny that happened to you the day. We need to just bring life and fun again. The joy, the Spirit of God brings joy. So that is why, how you know if the Spirit of God is not manifesting in your house, there will not be joy. It will be a place of heaviness. All right? You need to laugh a bit. Okay. But some of you came for me to really give you some tips on how to disciple your children. So I'm going to run through a few things with you. To disciple someone and to disciple a child is the same as an adult. They need to learn from you. So does your children see you pray? They are not born knowing how to pray. Then you need to teach them that. So the little ones, I will say, repeat after me. Morning, Jesus. Good morning, Jesus. Thank you for today. Thank you for my new shoes. Will you please help Granny? She's in the hospital. She's not feeling well. So I pray line and they pray line. I pray line. You have to teach them to pray. They find me in the mornings in intercession in front of my window. If they wake up, they see how I spend time with God. Does our children see it? So we need to teach them. If somebody is sick in the home, don't expect your seven-year-old to be able to pray for the sick if you've never taught him to do it. It is not the children's ministry job to do it. It is your job as the parent to do it, to teach them. Does your kid see you worship? In church, we worship. In small group, maybe. At home. Do you worship at home? Do you put music on and just worship the Lord? Do they ever see it? How are they going to do it as they grow up? The issues that they are being faced with is really next level. They need to connect with the Lord through worship on a weekly basis, on a daily basis. They do not know how to do it if we do not show it to them. So it's time to put music on, to say Friday nights we worship. First we worship and then we shoki. That's all right. There's a song by George Ezra. It goes, when it feels like paradise is running through my veins, I know it's love coming my way. I'm like, that is what I feel. I tell my kids, that is what I feel when the Holy Spirit is moving through me. It's like paradise in my veins. The guy is just a normal singer, man, doesn't matter. So when the song comes up, I think of Jesus. When they hear the song, like, yes, we want to feel the Holy Spirit like that. It's like paradise running through your veins. It's awesome. It's just a normal song. But can you see how we need to get Christ and the life in the Spirit just into everyday life? Okay, anyway, I need to go on. Do they see you worship? When I worship, I connect with God's Spirit. I made body, soul, spirit. My spirit connects with the Lord. Exactly the same happens to a child. When we had a time of worship, my kids start to repent spontaneously. Mom, I'm sorry I did that. I was just reminded yesterday I was actually very ugly at my sister and I need to say sorry. They just start to come out with it. It's exactly the same. So we need to bring them to that place of worship. Often. If you have children visiting you, I'm so blessed by the teacher that my little girl has. She plays worship music in her class. And in the evenings when Fia is falling asleep, she is singing these songs. That is the last thing that she thinks of when she closes her eyes. It's a teacher that just brings them to a place of worship. It's precious. There's a guy, Willard Sperry, I don't know who he is, but he said this. Worship involves an opening of ourselves to the adventurous life of the Spirit. Adventure, where God's Spirit is, there will be adventure. To follow Christ is not easy, but goodness, it is an adventure. And we can testify of that. That is the Jesus that we know. It is an adventure knowing him. They must see it. They must connect with his Spirit. So that was worship. Do they see you call on the name of the Lord when you are just down out? There's just nothing else. Jesus, come and help us. Jesus, come and help us. Do they see you do that? They will need to cry out to the Lord to help them in situations where we are not with them. How do I deal with my aggression? I told you already. And my frustration. Can I say sorry? Do they see when we say sorry? Rick and I, we try to make a point of that. That if we argue in front of them, they saw it. That we also say sorry in front of them. We try not to argue that much in front of them. But if it happens in a car or wherever, they need to see how we say sorry. They are not born knowing how to say sorry. We need to teach them how to say sorry, how to cry and make up. How do you respect and regard other people? How do you count people better or higher than yourself? How do you regard people higher than yourself? This is a difficult one for us. We need to set an example. How do you discipline them? And if parents here today, why do you discipline them? I quickly want to explain it to you. I discipline my three-year-old, five or whatever year old. I discipline them. I want them to be obedient the first time that I speak to them. So if I say, Hubert, do not touch the plug. I want him to listen the very first time. They won't in the beginning, right? So that is why we draw up disciplinary lines. So I use a wooden spoon still, obviously not everybody else. But I discipline him then. I train him to listen the first time that I speak. Yes, your life gets a lot easier, but that is not why I do it. I do it because as they grow up, they will move from under my authority, under God's authority. And I want them to be obedient when God speaks the first time. If God tells him, that is your wife, you need to pursue her now. He needs to do it. Otherwise, somebody else is going to get her. If God tells him, do not do this business deal, he needs to be obedient the first time. So now we aren't. We aren't. They aren't. What happens? Time of suffering is coming. It's not God that's being bad or harsh to us. We've been disobedient. We didn't listen. We didn't obey. So now we go through a difficult time. Suffering comes in. It's tough. Yes, God loves us. Yes, he's with us. It was not his first plan for us, but we didn't listen to his voice. If my kids have to listen the first time, then a lot of effort and crying and spanking and disciplining and sitting in the corner, all of that would not have happened if they would obey the first time. That is why we put so much effort into that, to train them, to show them why do we do it. I tell them, my bigger kids, I tell them why I do this. One day, you're going to listen to God's voice and you're going to obey, my boy. You're going to be so blessed. He's going to be able to tell you things and you'll just make it happen. How do you hear the Lord's voice? It's also one of the questions I asked the parents in the book. Share with your child, how do you hear God's voice? So that it's for them every day. Mommy can hear God's voice. I can hear God's voice. Tip for parents, you don't ask a child, did God speak to you today? Because that implies he might have not. You ask him, what did God say to you today? Because God is speaking to us all the time. We are just not picking it up often. When I was in the Bobby Hans Kloof on that hike with those ladies, no cell phones, no program, nothing, just nature and me walking. I was crying most of the way. They came to check up on me every now and again. Are you still all right? Are you still all right? I just heard God's voice. Pa, 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 pa. One, two, three, four. The whole day, he was just speaking, and I could hear. It was an awesome experience for me, and sometimes we just need that breakaway just to declutter and just to be able to hear his voice again. And obviously, my heart is to hear it every day, but I was just in a space where I struggled, and in God's grace, I could have gone on that hike. So some of you will have to make big changes for the sake of the generations to come. This is big, guys. This is big stuff I'm speaking about here. You can make the change. You can change history. You can. You can change, if we have to say in Hollywood terms, the stars for your generations to come. If you choose to get this right, if you say, Lord, big changes need to be made. We got it wrong. We allow the world to dictate to us. God, we want your spirit to dictate to us. A lot is being ministered to you in the last couple of months. You had a few big months with speakers and people and prophetic word and whatever. If you do not take the word God has given you, and if you do not change, it's for nothing. So as we go into December, as we're ending off this year, you need to take time and to meditate and ponder on what God has spoken to you about. And you need to cry out and say, Jesus, help me to change. Otherwise, it was all for nothing. And God's word can do it. That is why He is a supernatural God. He can change you. He can change things. He can change things for and bless generations to come through your change, through your, Lord, I'm willing. I want to take this word and I want to make it yours. Father, for you and for my generations, I'm going to be brave. I am just as scared as Gideon was, but I'm going to stand up and be brave and be obedient. So in December, put down your phone, put down your screen, and cry out to Jesus to really help you. If you guys can stand with me, please. So the world will tell us, yes, Alida, we heard your message. Okay, so now we need to make a plan. I'm going to run to the table at the back. I'm going to buy your book, and then it's going to be fixed. That is how we are programmed. We're going to fix this problem with buying this product. It's not going to happen. Okay, you need to stand before the Lord and say, God, I make a commitment that I want to disciple the next generation. God, my kids are grown. I don't have my own. Lord, but show me. Where must I sow into their lives? There's a project running in your congregation, little school bags that you get ready for people. It's not done yet. I think they still need 70 or 50 or something. You need to get it done. You need to put your takeaway aside, take that money, buy that stuff, bring the money to the church for the next generation and say, we're going to kit you out like nothing before. You are ready for grade one. I invest in you. I invest in your education. I put my life on the line with things that I say, yes, God, we're going to do. Things that I pray for, things that I stand in the gap for, because it's for them. The school bags need to be done, guys. It needs to be done. You need to get it together. That's one school. There are many other children out there. But that's the difference that you can make here. That's the need right here. So this morning, I'm not going to ask you to come forward and I'm not going to lay hands on any of you. I know that in the Spirit you will receive impartation. You need to speak to the Lord yourself. You need to hear Him speak to you yourself. You need to say, God, I repent. If you need to repent of idols, of children, of whatever you need to do, if you're into to repent of indifference, I don't have kids anymore, it's not my problem, you need to say sorry to the Lord. Say, God, open my eyes. Where is my responsibility in raising this next generation? I train the children's ministry people in Shofar. I train women and women and women and women and women and no men. It's in church. It's our children in church. But there is no men stepping out wanting to work with the boys. So by the time that boy is a teenager, it is so difficult to get to his heart. Now everything is manifesting, all the hurt, everything, all the longing for a father figure or whatever is manifesting. His heart is like a fortress and we cannot get in there because nobody looked after him. No men look after them when they were little. It's a woman's job. Your mom will. Your mom must read to you. It's a woman's job. The woman must do it. So I call men up and I say to raise a generation is not a woman's job. It's both. We need to grow up, we adults. We need to grow up and mature in Christ. You can tell me, Alida, I cannot hear the Lord's voice this morning. I'm saying, well, come do Encounter One. That's why we do all these things in church. We want to help and equip you. What is the Holy Spirit? How do I hear and follow His voice? It's uncomfortable. I don't know how to do it. It's out of my box. But I want to mature. I want to grow up. Alida, something needs to change for my generation, for the generation to come. You don't know my past. You don't know how far we are from where you are talking today. It doesn't matter. As we were worshiping, God showed me a picture to this person. You, as I speak, you think the gaps are too big. It's these massive gaps and they cannot be bridged anymore. It's in the past. It's too much. I saw the Holy Spirit with a needle and a thread, and He is coming to patch those areas. He's bringing it together. He is closing your gap. My God and your God can do it. You cannot do it. You need to cry out for Him for your past and say, Lord, I give it to You. Father, You know where I come from. And I choose to change for the sake of the next generation. I saw a car. It is the husband's job to put the petrol in the car. That is what I saw. It's his job. So now he did it wrong. There's the wrong petrol in the car. And the wife cannot drive around because there's no movement in the car. He is so frustrated with her. But he put in the wrong petrol right in the beginning. That might be a word for some of you. You did it wrong. You put the wrong petrol in. That is why there's no movement. There's no momentum. And you think it's your wife's fault. But it's actually yours. And you say, God, I'm sorry. I've been putting in the wrong stuff. You need to put in the right petrol so that the movement can come, especially regarding your wife and your family. And then this morning, I asked the Lord just for a prophetic word for your congregation. And I got the words, becoming of age. This congregation is becoming of age. Maybe that's the wrong phrase. I'm actually Afrikaans. But what I see is it's a coming into adulthood. It's a crossing over the line into adulthood, into maturity. But the bridge to cross is obedience. It's like I said to you, are you obedient? Can you obey God's voice? And I just sense that is where God wants to take you, and the key for you will be obedience. So Marihit ministered on how do you hear God's voice this week. It's for me profound that I come and tell you today, now you need to obey. Because there's something greater coming for you guys. So Father, I want to pray specifically for that word, Lord. And as we break it down to individuals in their quiet time, Lord, sitting with You, I pray that they will be able to focus on You, God. So many distractions for us. I pray a focusing quiet time. I pray a clear direction, Lord, and I pray the guts and the faith to obey. In Jesus' name. For the sake of the next generation to come and those after them, Lord. I'm just going to wait on the Holy Spirit to see if there's something else He's showing me. You can speak to God softly under your breath. Tell Him what you feel. Tell Him what He spoke to you about today. Talk to Him. Say sorry if you have to. Take your wife's hand if you need to. Cry out to the One who can bring comfort, to the One who can bring you hope this morning. I cannot do it. Only His Holy Spirit can. Father, open our eyes to pride. Open our eyes to the plans of the religious spirit, Lord. He wants to blind us. He wants to come in from the side. And I pray in Jesus' name that we will be vigilant and see Him a mile away. Father, help us and have grace for us, Lord, to not set this trap for our children. To show them a Jesus that is alive, a Holy Spirit that is alive, a mom, a dad, adulthood, God, to show them by example, You are alive. Your Spirit moves. It excites. It brings fun. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I sense some of you will have to make dates this week to be accountable regarding that which God has spoken to you about. Maybe not today, maybe in the week, maybe CD launch last week, maybe whatever God has spoken to you about in the last few months. It's time to be accountable to the word God has spoken to you. So if it's your friend, maybe it's husband and wife, they need to go out for coffee this week and say, we've been doing it wrong, or this little area we need to check up on. This thing we need to sort out. We need to change. We've done it all wrong. Oh my goodness. We're going to have to start again. Jesus, help us. But we need to have that conversations, all right? And I really trust that this is going to bring a fresh and a new thing in our movement. Open our eyes to these little ones. How do we work with them? How do we help them? How do we disciple them? Thank you, Lord, that you're faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.